Well, greetings. We are welcome to Greek Club at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis, Missouri, in the United States of America, home of the, yes, it really must be happening, Global Warming Center. We're broadcasting today from Sweat Tower. It's not supposed to be 80 degrees here because an old guy like me can't run in this heat. So it's been tough, but Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. And we are reading Hebrews. And you know, if we're not careful, we're going to finish Hebrews before the Lord returns. Maybe having said that, he'll just show me. Wouldn't that be great? That's right. All training at the same time seems painful. That's here in Hebrews 12, but it's okay. Afterwards, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. So,
no more running then for you?
No, running, but no more. They shall run and not be weary. They shall, yeah. That's right. Yeah, that's right. And Dr. Lessing, as you know, who often comes to Greek Club, I believe his favorite Bible verse in the Old Testament is, who's the guy, the messenger, that wants to bring the death of Absalom, the news of the death of Absalom to, anyway, it's not Ahithophel, it's, anyway, the verse is, come what may, I must run. See, that's his favorite Bible verse, so, yeah. Yeah, no, I run because I have to. But that reminds me of the number 7, which is the number of completeness, and it's the verse on which we will begin here in Hebrews chapter 12. So, all right, so the writer is now being hortatory again, and he's being a little stern. It's kind of like they're Americans, they're babies, because things are tough. So, yeah, I think Americans were basically all babies, me first. Okay, verse 7. Aspaidan hippomenata, hos huiois humin prosperitai hathaos, tiskar huias han u paidue pater? Question, right? So, nice short clauses. You almost think this is the Gospel of John or something like this. Unto training. Paideia is a word that means instruction or training. It's often translated discipline here, but I don't think we should think of discipline in the sense of punishment, because although clearly the audience is needing to be exhorted here, it's not like they've done something wrong. They're just sort of wavering, you know, under some sort of difficult circumstance. So I actually almost might prefer the term instruction or training rather than discipline, because at least in my English-speaking ear, discipline often, you know, entails a punishment because you've done something wrong. So anyway, ace plus accusative obviously can express purpose, and I think that's probably its sense here. For the purpose of instruction or training, you are enduring, comma, as with sons, with you, God is prosperomying. Now, prospero means what it looks like it means. It means to bring something to. But in the passive voice, I had to look this up, in the passive voice, to be brought to something or to someone means to deal with them. Okay? So it must be something like, okay, if you are brought to me, well, it means now we're interacting or something like this. So the lexicon just simply suggests the translation, God is dealing. So it's a passive voice verb, present indicative passive, third singular, but it has an active intransitive meaning, and it takes a dative indirect object. God is dealing with you, plural, as huiois, with sons. So the struggle that you're having and the fact that you're having to learn stuff the hard way is not a bad sign, it's a good sign. Now that's un-American, right? Because we all just want life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It's always good to have somebody from another part of the world with us. Guntars, you are the leaven in our Greek club. So, and I mean that in every positive way. Who, and then now a question, Tiskar. For who, no verb, who is a son whom the father does not instruct? And of course the answer is, well, no, every father instructs his children, right? And then that image or that metaphor of an earthly father instructing his earthly children will continue to drive the paragraph, actually, till we get to the end of verse 11. So, short clauses, look up a couple of word or two, and not too bad. So, paideiue is just, you know, what it looks like, a present indicative active third singular, oase, right? So occasionally you see a form that makes you happy, and that's what counts, right, is to be happy. So, good. Any questions on verse 7? All right, verse 8. Eide choris esta paideas, heis met akhoi, gaganas en pantis, ara nothoi, kai uk huioi esta. Now we have a simple if-then clause. I guess we'd call this, what would we call this? Just a present particular conditional sentence. But if, apart from your training, so paideas goes with choris, the preposition choris, if you, plural, esta, are apart from training or instruction, now the relative pronoun, notice the rough breathing and the accent, and it's feminine singular genitive, so the antecedent of the pronoun is right in front of it, paideas, training, of which, now go to the end of the clause right at the comma, pantes is the subject, all, geganesen is from genomai, it's the perfect indicative active third plural, so of which all have become or have been metakoi, partakers, participants. And you're a participant in Greek of something, which is why the relative pronoun is genitive. It's genitive after metakoi. And metakoi is nominative plural because genomai takes the predicate nominative. So the subject of geganesen is pantes, right? So that's the if clause. If you are apart from instruction, of which all have become partakers, in other words, this is standard Christian fare. This is the way it happens to all of us, right? Now, ara just is, well, you could actually translate it then. You'll see this little particle in the apodosis or the then clause of an if-then sentence, and that's what we've got here. Then, nothoi. Now, you look this up, and it means bastards. Okay, it means ill-born persons. To be honest, I don't know if it has the pejorative. I mean, for us, the word bastard in English can become an insult. I don't actually know, and I didn't take the time to figure out if this is supposed to be an insult or if he's just kind of saying, look, this just means you don't belong to the family. You know, you don't have legitimate place and status. And so at the very least, we could take it that way. I don't think the writer is insulting them. So in English translation, to translate it bastard might be too strong just because of the way we would hear that, you know, that term. So we could say just illegitimate, maybe. Then you are, plural, illegitimate, again, a predicate nominative, and not sons, right? So thinking there again, not in terms of insult, but in terms of status and belonging and connectedness to the father. Right. So just kind of a simple if-then sentence and lots of nominatives because you've got two linking verbs, right? Three, actually. Two forms of eime and one form of genomai. Okay? Pretty good on verse 8. All right, so now you know the Greek word for you know what, which is kind of like knowing the Greek word for poop, which is helpful as well. So, skubala is right. That's right. How come you knew that? Does he? Okay, yeah, good. Okay, good. That's good. All right, great. And then he goes.
Yes.
Right, that's right. Yeah, I'm looking forward to the fourth-year class banquet again this year because they'll imitate faculty members. You guys know David Graves? David is a first-year student. Yeah, he's a really good faculty imitator. Yeah. He's really good. So,
yes.
Yeah, that's right. It's a spiritual gift. Okay, verse 9, and needed in the church because we all have to not take ourselves too seriously. Verse 9, eta tus men te sarkas hemon pateras ekamen paideutas kai en etrepamatha u palu de malon hippo tagesamatha to patri ton pneumaton kai zesamen? Question? Eta can mean, well, it means then or next, and it can often be in a sequence, like first this happened, then this happened, like that sense. In fact, you see it, I happen to know this because one time I taught Galatians like 8 times in a row. You see this in that autobiographical section of Galatians that we looked at in seminar that was so important for Pauline chronology. 3 years later, then I did this, then I did this, you know. Here it's just kind of a logical sequence. Furthermore is what the lexicon actually suggests here. Furthermore, and now we see a men, and yes, sure enough, at the end of the next line we get a de, right? So furthermore, on the one hand, now you see tous, there's the accusative article, so you're going to go looking for a verb, and we see ekamen. This is from echo, and it's irregular in its formation. This is actually the imperfect indicative of echo. So we typically had, or used to have, or something like that. Furthermore, we had, or typically had, then go back to tous at the beginning and take 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 words. Tous pateras. We had the fathers. Which fathers? Our fathers. Which our fathers? Of the flesh fathers. See? So you could probably translate that. We had our earthly fathers. I mean, earthly in the sense of physical, literal, biological. Right? Furthermore, we had our earthly fathers, on the one hand, paideutas, another, this is a second accusative, right? And so this is what Wallace's grammar, this is the complement in an object complement double accusative. Or the older nomenclature would be that it's a predicate accusative and you supply as or to be to fill out the translation. So, furthermore, we used to have, or we typically had, our earthly fathers as teachers, paideuteses. This is just a masculine first declension noun, like mathetes, as teachers, those who disciplined us, right? And now, en etrepamatha. This is from entrepo. This is an interesting verb that... at least as far as I understand it, it shows the importance of realizing that in the first century, what little I know about this, of course, you're in an honor, shame, relative status kind of culture. Okay, so entrepo means to shame someone. Okay? And in the passive, it means then to be shamed or positively to respect. See? Now we again, and this might work better in Northern Europe, you know, in the Baltic area, or it might work much better in Asia, right? See, so in that sense, you can have shame in relation to someone else in a positive sense, right? That is, you're beholden to them; they're superior to you, and so that's how in modern sort of Western English you actually translate this. The passive voice of entrepo means to respect someone. And you see that it's the imperfect. So we've got entrepo, and there's the augment in between the preposition and the basic stem. And it could be, of course, an imperfect indicative middle because of the ending is ambiguous, but it's translated as passive. So, and we used to respect, and then you just fill in a blank, them. That is our earthly fathers. Yeah, so isn't that interesting for us at least, you know, to have a sense of shame over against someone else is a positive thing, or at least it can be a positive thing. Now, you got an English thing, Mike, you going to check it out there? Yeah, that'd be good to hear what Hebrews 12, verse
9. I'm mad at Hebrews, but I do know where we are.
Yeah. No, well, it's okay. You're looking in English, so yeah, right. Okay. Plus, it's got the numbers, so that helps, yeah. So that is all the men. On the one hand, we had our earthly fathers as instructors, discipliners, and we used to, kept on, indeed, respected them.
Respect.
Yeah, good. Is that ESV or NIV or?
NIV.
NIV, yeah, good. Okay, so that's the one hand. And now on the other hand, now the other shoe drops, and you can see the de. which is bracketed. It doesn't technically have to be there, but so I'm not sure how I would make the call on the variant reading there. We have ou, and then we have the first verb is hippo tage samatha. Malon in front of it means rather or indeed. It's just a little adverb. And palu is from palus, which means much or many. And it parses as neuter singular, and it could be nominative or accusative. I think we'll take it as accusative here, and it'll be adverbial. We've seen this very often in Hebrews, and it happens fairly often in the New Testament. Then when you have a neuter, singular, accusative adjective, it's functioning as an adverb. And grammatically, if you needed a category, which is, of course, we know all Greek words have to have a category, you'd call this the adverbial accusative of respect. So, with respect to much, rather. That's the way you'd literally translate that. So, it's not unlike, Paul actually writes, by means of so much, rather. Pazo malon. You might have seen that in Paul. It's the same sense. How much more is the way it might actually be translated. Okay? So, how much more, and it's punctuated as a question that begins with ooh, and so we expect the answer what with a question that begins with ooh, yes or no?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. By how much more we will be subject to the Father of spirits and live, won't we? I mean, that would be a very awkward translation, but that's actually the sense of asking a question like that. So again, it's kind of a common sense argument, and it just... it's a very good reminder that the very fact that as Christians we struggle and are tested and, you know, we're wandering around having to learn stuff over and over again, this is not a bad sign. I mean, it's only a bad sign in a sense that means that Christ hasn't returned and renewed the earth yet. But it's a good sign. It means that God is dealing with us as with sons, not as with bastards. I mean, that's good, right? So, okay, fine. I'll stop whining for the moment. Yeah, until I face some little tiny obstacle, and then I'll whine again. The verb hippotage samatha is from hippotasso, and it is an irregular sixth principal part. It's strong. This is a future indicative passive, and you might pray for a theta, like a theta, eta, seta, like luthesomai or something like that. But the sixth principal part here is hippetagein. So this set just parses, unfortunately, as a future indicative passive, first person plural. By how much rather will we be subjected or be submissive to the Father of spirits, a reference to God, kind of an unusual phrase, and zesamen from zao, which is just the future indicative, and we will live. Won't we? And the answer is, okay, yeah, okay, got it, we will, right? So we had a men with about two lines long and then a de about almost two lines long. Good. Any cleanup or any comments, questions on that? Yeah. I don't know, not to mention names, but I don't know how Joel Osteen would preach on this, you know? You know, this kind of follow Jesus and your life gets better and you get more money and...
Think positively.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, well, right. Yeah, well, I won't talk about Joel Osteen because I don't know anything about him firsthand, so... Okay, verse 10. Looky here, we have another mende, right? Hoi men gar pros aligas hemeras kata ta dakun autois epiduon ha da epita simferon eis ta metalabain tes hagiatetas autu. On the one hand, for, and now we've got this hoi men and then ha da in the next line, and that's that little change of subject where the article, it's just the article, hoi and ha, but it's acting like the pronoun. It's a personal pronoun, so you translate, on the one hand, they, right? For on the one hand, they, pros aligas hemeras, for a few days, according to the to seem to them. Dakeo means to seem or think. And the sense of it is, according to what they thought, and then maybe fill in the blank, was best. epaiduon. This is the imperfect from paiduo. They used to train us. They used to instruct us. They, of course, is the earthly fathers. They used to discipline us. Hada, but he, epitas simferon. Simferon is actually just a present participle from simfero. Simfero means to help, and it's the helping thing. And it actually, I suspected this was the case. The lexicon says that the neuter participle here with the article actually functions as a noun. It means advantage. So the helping thing. But he, on the basis of advantage, or we might even say for benefit, and again, our benefit, now ace ta plus the infinitive, which expresses, anybody, typically? Ace ta plus the infinitive is purpose. And meta labain is the aorist infinitive from meta lambano, which means to participate in something, and you participate in something in the genitive, right? So getting that clause after the comma, but he, and now we have to repeat the verb, trains us, or is training us, for the advantage, for our advantage, in order to participate or to share, and in English we would say, in his hagiotetas, holiness. Right. So my mind actually just jumped to John, that is to be in the world but not of the world. You know, and I jumped there because holiness, you know, entails the notion of separation, right? So what God is about in this training is that we would more fully participate in a life that is separate from the world. And yet the purpose of it is that we would be more fully engaged in the world, but not of it. I mean, that's an interesting thing, of course. Here in this context, because somehow the world is trying to get them to drift away, probably the reason why he's emphasizing that is because first they need to get the different part down in order then to be sent, you know, back into their callings and so forth. And that's always a balancing act. So cleaning up verse 10 again, and then we'll stop there. For on the one hand, they used to train us for a few days according to what seemed to them best. But he, repeat the verb, trains us for our advantage in order that, supply, we share in his holiness. And then verse 11 is the concession that, okay, fine, nobody likes training when it's happening, but we'll get to that next week. So, okay, Christ is risen.
He is risen
indeed. Hallelujah. Very good.
So you think we'll get done with Hebrews for summer?
Oh, we'll finish it. Oh no. We're finishing. Absolutely. Yeah.
I have a request for a book of the Bible when we come back.
Oh yeah. What do you want?
Second Corinthians.
What? You don't like verbs?
just throwing it out there.
Okay. No. This is good. This is good. Second Corinthians is very challenging.
Is it?
Have you been working through it?
Well. Supposedly, that's going to be the